I want to thank everyone once more for helping and preparing this worship service. I want to thank all our returning members and also our new visitors coming and joining us today for worship. I want to thank all the members who were not able to come and participate in our worship with our recorded sermons. And thank you, Lord, for this day. Let us have a time of prayer before we jump into the Word of God. Lord, we thank you once more for your words to be revealed in our lives. Be with us as we hear your words and let us properly respond with the open heart, mind, and also a soul, giving thanks to you. May the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be worthy in front of you and you only, our Lord and our Savior. And we pray this all in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. It is such a joy and privilege for me to preach according to the Gospel of Star Wars. It's a win when you can decorate this altar with all these little action figures. As I was leaving this morning, Peter came up and gave me a bag of all his Star Wars action figures and said, "Daddy, use this for your sermon." So I'm doing that. And especially when your member gives you a gift of a Star Wars ornament, that's a win. Especially today, in the morning service, First Light service, one of our members actually wore his Stormtrooper t-shirt. So that was another joy that I had. The most joy that I enjoy the most is that I can watch endless Star Wars movies again and again. My wife doesn't like me watching it, so we had an agreement that I will only watch the whole session once a year. That's a big agreement between us. Last Thursday, I went up and I decided to put season 2 and season 3 in the DVD, and I had Peter join me in our living room, and my wife was asking me, "What are you doing?" And I said, "I'm preparing for Sunday sermon." So it's a joy that I can enjoy this time together. Our youth are going to go out to Blacksburg to watch the new coming movie on December 18th, 10 o'clock in the morning. You are all welcome. Just message me and we will have a ticket prepared for you. It'll be $10 per person. Now, I did want to make sure that the reason I wanted to make it very clear the reason why I'm using this movie. It's not only because there's a new movie coming out, but it is because movies somehow started to portray the worldview that we have, and which was actually the role of religion was taken over by movie and mass media. And people are all relating their worldviews according to the movies. And my attempt of using Star Wars is to claim back that role as religion. That our worldview should not be formed by movies or culture, but instead our worldview must be formed by the Word and the Gospel. And what I'm doing is I'm picking, extracting scenes of Star Wars that actually reflects what the Word is telling us. And this is a scene where I believe that is very appropriate for us as we approach this day of Advent, which signifies and where we light up the candle of peace, to look into the definition of what Jedi is. It should be starting soon.
Fought in the Clone Wars?
Yes.
I was once a Jedi Knight, the same as your father.
I wish I'd known him.
He was the best star pilot in the galaxy. And a cunning warrior. I understand you've become quite a good pilot yourself. And he was a good friend. Which reminds me, I have something here for you. Your father wanted you to have this when you were old enough. But your uncle wouldn't allow it. He feared you might follow old Obi-Wan on some damn fool idealistic crusade like your father did.
Sir, if you'll not be needing me, I'll close down for a while.
Sure, go ahead. What is it?
It's your father's lightsaber. This is the weapon of a Jedi Knight. Not as clumsy or random as a blaster. An elegant weapon for a more civilized age. For over 1,000 generations, the Jedi Knights were the guardians of peace and justice in the Old Republic. Before the Dark Times. Before the Empire.
How did my father die?
A young Jedi named Darth Vader, who was a pupil of mine until he turned to evil, helped the Empire hunt down and destroy the Jedi Knights. He betrayed and murdered your father. Now the Jedi are all but extinct. Vader was seduced by the dark side of the Force.
The Force?
And the Force is what gives the Jedi his power. It's an energy field created by all living things. It surrounds us and penetrates us. It binds the galaxy together.
So what Obi-Wan Kenobi is saying is Jedi are the defender of peace and justice of this galaxy. And I will talk a little bit more why we should be considered ourselves as Jedis. But let me ask you a question. As a Sunday that we celebrate the peace that our Lord brings, how many of us can really say that the peace of God is with us in this world? The world is filled with non-peaceful acts, violence, hunger, poor, and poverty. As a matter of fact, EU had picked 10 issues of the world, and I'm not going to introduce all 10 of them, but let me just start with the top five. Number five is availability of energy. Number four is international terrorism and also domestic violence that we had recently experienced. Number three is the economical situation. Number two is the climate change. And number one is poverty, hunger, and a lack of drinking water. Is it only the world's problem? Isn't it our problem too that we see our family members, friends being hit by all these tragedies in the world, death, illness, crises? And what about our lives? Can we really say that we live in this peace? A lot of us might not be able to answer this question well. So I do want to go back of what the Bible says and tells us about peace. And a matter of fact, if you look into the Bible has a different definition of what peace means. When the world says peace is something that you are in with no strife, no crisis, just a peaceful way of no conflict, the Bible tells there is more of a meaning to this word that is actually pronounced shalom. Shalom in Israel, in Hebrew, means the peace of God to be with you. So shalom is actually used as a greeting for one another. As they greet, they say shalom. And as they leave and depart, they say shalom because they want this peace of God to be with them. The peace is actually from the being prevented by any kind of enemies, any kind of crisis. That is true because God does not want God's people to suffer and to suffocate under these crises. So they also say shalom and ask for shalom because they want to live this life in the fullness as being God's people. But this meaning of shalom develops as God finally sends his son, Jesus Christ, to this world, which was a messianic prophecy being fulfilled. And through Jesus Christ coming into the world, he becomes the Prince of Peace because he restores the relationship with God that we did not have before. When we are depart and we are separated from God, that's when the violence, the evil, and non-shalom happens. But by Jesus Christ and his sacrifice and God's love, that's when the true shalom becomes revealed. It says in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 to 7, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time and on forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." So Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace who completes this shalom in the world. And as his reign and as his kingdom and as the people of God shine the shalom into the world, it says it will continue to increase. And that's where I use the phrase of Reverend Adam Hemington of the Church of Resurrection, that he says that we are, as God's people, to carry the light of Jesus Christ, to carry the love of Jesus Christ, to carry the peace and shalom of Jesus Christ, to push back the darkness one step at a time. And are we, as the people of God, having that peace of our Lord to share it with others? Today, Zechariah has prophesied about the effect of Jesus and our Lord. And let me just read it once more to you. "Blessed be to the Lord of God, is a God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior, who is Jesus Christ, for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophet from old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hands of all who hate us. Thus, he has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors and has remembered his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our ancestor Abraham to grant us, that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him and all our days." So we are to serve God in holiness and righteousness as that defender of peace. Before we go on to Jedi and how I make that correlation between God's people and Jedi, let me just talk about Zechariah at the temple, because I believe that this is a very important story. Who is Zechariah? Father of John the Baptist. You might want to pronounce it Zechariah or Zechariah. Either way, it's Hebrew and it's a different language, so I don't really have to worry that much. Father of John the Baptist. What happened? 6 months before Gabriel appears to Mary, Gabriel, the same angel who talked about and prophesied about the birth of Jesus Christ, come and visit Zechariah. Zechariah, who is the line of the priesthood of Aaron, is actually a priest, and he is taking his duties in the temples. And Gabriel comes up and says, "Zechariah, you and your wife Elizabeth is going to have a baby. This baby is going to be a prophet who prepares the way of the promised one and the Messiah." What did Zechariah say when he heard this prophecy? "Thank you, Lord, for giving me this prophecy. You are the God who promised the prince and peace, and you are the God who promised the Messiah. And thank you that my heir can be one who prepares him." Did he say this? No. This is quite opposite. That's right. This is what he said. Zechariah said to the angel, "How will I know that this is so? For I am old man, and my wife is getting in years." The angel replied, "I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I've been sent to speak to you and bring you the good news. But now, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time, you will become mute, unable to speak until the day these things occur." And what a painful and a horrible prophecy to say to a priest and a preacher. You're going to be mute for 9 months. Ooh, that's going to be so hard for me. But let's reflect onto this. When God says that I had called you to become my people, people who carry the light, who people who carry the hope, people who carry the peace and shalom into this world, that you are going to defend it, you are going to defend the light, you're going to push back the darkness one step at a time. How many of us say, yes, Lord, we're going to do it. Yes, Lord, shine through me. Yes, Lord, let me bring the hope and the peace of Jesus Christ into the world. But instead say, how can it be? I am meek, I am weak, and I am not adequate to this. Maybe that's the reason why God made the church mute and allowed the darkness to prevail over the light. We are all that peace, the bearers of peace and the defenders of peace who needs to speak out and who needs to act into this world. And it took 9 months for Zechariah to get unmute and start talking. And this is how it started, how it happened. When John the Baptist was about, when Elizabeth was about to give birth to John the Baptist, people all gathered and they said, congratulations, what are you going to name this boy? And according to that culture, it was natural for the boy and the son to inherit his father's name. So all the people said, let's name him Zechariah as his father. And what did Elizabeth say? She said, no. God said he should be named John. Then all the people didn't believe what Elizabeth said. So they went over to Zechariah, who is in the corner, writing something on a tablet because he cannot speak. And what did he say? He said, his name is John. And the moment he said it, his mouth was opened. Once we believe in the promise of our Lord saying that you are supposed to bear the hope in this world, God will release God's power through God's Spirit. And after Zechariah was unmute, he gave this prophecy about Jesus Christ, and then he continues on and saying to his son John the Baptist, and he prays and blesses him with this prayer and this prophecy saying, and you, child, who is John the Baptist, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by forgiveness of their sins, by the tender mercy of our God. The dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. The child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day he appeared to public in Israel. And there are four things that actually Zechariah prophesies as the purpose of John the Baptist. Number one is he will go and prepare the way of the Lord. As a prophet, that's the reason why John the Baptist was in the wilderness, baptizing people. And then to give God's people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of sins. And that is the reason why John the Baptist said, repent for the coming king. Repent for eternal life. And the third purpose was to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death. And there are so many people who live in darkness. And that's why we carry the light of Jesus Christ to shun the darkness out of their lives. And the fourth one is to guide our feet into the path of peace. And this is why I believe this call is all equal to us as people of God. And this call is very similar to the call of being a Jedi, which is the defender of peace and righteousness in the galaxy. You may laugh at me, but it's a time to laugh at me if you want to. But we are all called to be Jedis because we are called to make this peace in this world. Was it only that me, out of who was a Star Wars maniac who wanted to make everything in a correlation? No, Jesus actually said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Paul also says in Romans chapter 19, verse 14, let us then pursue what makes of peace for the mutual upbuilding. And we are called to share this peace in the world, like John the Baptist was called to prepare the way and share peace into this world. But what happens to us when we're trying to share the peace of Christ? A lot of us, even though we know that we are supposed to be the defender of peace and righteousness, we encounter this roadblock in our lives that prevents us to become a true defender of peace. And that roadblock is fear. But the funny thing is, for a Jedi to become a defender, a true defender of peace and righteousness, they have to overcome the same thing, a fear. But sadly, one of the most chosen Jedis of all time, Anakin Skywalker, cannot overcome his fear. And that's when he becomes Lord Darth Vader. And before he turns into the dark side, he has an encounter with Yoda, who talks about how he needs to turn away from the fear. And let me show you this video.
Premonitions? Premonitions? These visions you have.
They're of pain, suffering. Death.
Yourself you speak of, or someone you know?
Someone.
Close to you?
Yes.
Careful you must be when sensing the future, Anakin. The fear of loss is a path to the dark side.
I won't let these visions come true, Master Yoda.
Death is a natural part of life. Rejoice for those around you who transform into the Force. Mourn them, do not. Miss them, do not.
What must I do, Master Yoda?
Train yourself to let go of everything you fear to lose.
So Master Yoda talks about this mystery of death and even resurrection. Because he sees that, of course, I do not believe in it, but in the Force, they resurrect, and they're all bind. So he says, don't look at death or any kind of pain and suffering as a fearful thing in your life. Let go of it, and see how the Force leads you. Because if you are bounded by that fear, what happens is you'll actually be led to the dark side. And isn't it same for us as Christians? That we should live in that kind of peace and hope of resurrection instead of being bounded by the death, pain, and suffering of the world. We should live above it. We have that faith and belief in the eternal kingdom. But instead, what happens? We are bound by it. And we are bound not to believe in that hope, and not to believe in that peace. And what happens is we are not able to live in this life as a defender of peace and righteousness. In many, many ways, this is reflected. But I have to tell you and share this thing. And forgive me if I am crossing any boundaries of political views. I try to be neutral on my political view. Because, number one, I don't even have a vote right in America. And I don't really care. In a sense that, because I do not have that. And the reason why I try to be in the neutral is because even in our members, we have people on this side and people on this side. And I tend to be the neutral ground so I can relate with everyone. So In those ways, I do not talk about political issues. But what I had encountered yesterday was beyond a political issue. It is more of a Christian, non-Christian behavior, I have to say. A well-known Christian college that is very close to us, and the president of that Christian college said that everyone should be able to carry a concealed weapon. So whoever comes and threatens us and tries to violate our safety, we need to show them a lesson. Number one, that is not Christian at all. I'm not trying to say whether he is right or wrong. He has his right to believe in what he believes. But if he says it in a way that reflects Christianity, I have to say something about it. Neither do I believe that gun control will solve the problem. In the same way, I don't believe that carrying guns for our own protection will solve the problem. The reason why I say it is because we have to reflect on what Jesus really did. If Jesus was going to overcome this world and bring peace to the world by fighting against evil, he would have called the angels to come and conquer Roman Empire. He would have called the angels and conquered the whole land. He would have lived forever and ever in this world, but his kingdom was not here. And he knew that his kingdom will not be built by fighting evil to evil. And instead, he died on the cross. And if we believe that that's the only way to bring the peace in this world that overcomes all pain, suffering, and death, that overcomes the fear that we have in this world, how can we say that carrying more concealed weapons is the solution? I wouldn't have a problem if he said it out of his own private belief and he had voted in that way. But when he says it as a Christian college president, as if that is the way of Jesus, I do have a big, big problem. Because that's not the way that we overcome our fear. That's not the way that we defend the peace and share it with others who do not have that peace. Because the only way we can share that peace is by letting go and giving up. The only way for us to really have that peace in us to share with this world that goes through so many tragedies is for us to really rely on the peace of God being filled in our lives. You might ask me, but Pastor, Jedi's all had a lightsaber. What is our lightsaber? Ephesians chapter 6 talks about the armor of God, and it says clearly that our sword is the word of God. It is not a weapon. Our sword to defend this peace is this word. And the word that comes from the Spirit, it should not be bounded by cultural or political issues. And maybe we need to go back to the word and really see what God wants us to do in this world that is filled with darkness. Let me share what Paul says as a last commencement to his people from Colossians chapter 3. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom and with gratitude in your hearts. Sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And he said, specifically said, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. And he continues on saying that it's only through the word that this peace can come into our hearts. And we really need to soak ourselves into the word that is our lightsaber to become the true defender of peace. Peace of Christ does not mean that all troubles are gone. Peace of Christ does not mean that all death, pain, and suffering is eliminated from our life. But the peace of Christ means that we look for something beyond this tragedy. We look for something beyond this suffering, and we look for something beyond this death. And with that peace, we share it with the world that does not know of this peace. As I wrap this sermon, I want to end with a quote that I saw. Peace is not an absence of trouble. We still have trouble in our life. But the presence of Christ. Do you carry Christ in your life to share the peace of this world? That will be the real question as we live this world as the defender of peace and righteousness. Let us have a time of prayer as we prepare our hearts for the communion. Lord, we come to you and asking for your presence to be filled in our lives. As we carry Jesus Christ, you our Lord, in this world, let us truly become the peace and the defender of righteousness. We thank you and we pray this all in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen.